All right, John 15 this morning, verse 1. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. All right, so just quick, this is like the only review slide that we have this morning. But we have the vine, we have the branches, we have the gardener. The vine's giving life to the branches. The branches are bearing fruit because of the life that they have in the vine. The gardener is the one pruning, mowing away, burning, doing all the caretaking in it. Christ is our example, or Christ, the vine is the example of Christ. The branches are examples of the disciples. The gardener's got the Father doing the work. So, 5 and 6, are you connected? Verses 5 and 6. So, in verse 5, he says, again, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, then you're going to bear fruit. And apart from me, you can't do anything, or you can do nothing. So why is John, or if you want to say Jesus, whichever, why are we having the repetition here? Why? You know, because we already saw in verses 1 through 4 kind of the same concept. Now we get to verse 5, and at some point you almost go, this is a little too much. We just keep, he's saying the same thing over and over again. So why is it being repeated? All right, it's important. All right? Do you think that perhaps it's because we struggle with this? In our humanity, in our flesh, what do we often say? I can do it on my own. I can make it now. I needed God for a little while, but now, you got me over the hump or whatever, and now I'm okay. God, appreciate that, but I got it from here. And too often, that's our mindset. Too often, we want God when we need him, but then when we kind of feel like, okay, well, I don't really need him anymore, I got it. And I think part of this, again, is just re-emphasizing the repetition to say, you're not going to make it on your own. Understand and realize that you always need to be attached to the vine. You always need what with a nutrition, or you always need what's coming from the vine. John wasn't really concerned with people going, why is he saying it over and over again? He wants us to recognize this point of discipleship. He wants us to understand that there is a difference in the vine and the branches. It's, yes, they ought to be one and the same, and we ought to be connected to that, but ultimately there is a difference. And we've got to realize that, yes, I can be in Christ and Christ in me, but I'm not Christ. I have to be attached to him. I have to be relying on him. I have to be in him in order to bear this fruit. And in order for that to happen, in order for me to rely upon him, in order for me to abide in him, I have to humble myself to do that and to realize, I have a need in my life. I can't do it on my own. And again, that goes against our human nature. For most of us, we want the attitude, I can do it. One of our daughters, when they were little, we used to try to help them with things. And, as we're teaching and learning, and as only a little child can do, they'd look at you and go, I do it. Because they wanted to do it themselves. They didn't want help. But that's how we are with God too often. We look at God and say, I do it. I can do it. I want to do it on my own. I don't need you. Just let me do it. But Christ says you don't want to do that. You know, it's a whole lot easier, it's a whole lot better when you allow Christ to work through you and the Holy Spirit to... And I know we use that interchangeably. If you weren't in the 8:30 service, you'll hear it in the 10:45. But just really, we say Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us. You know, just trying to realize the fact that we have the presence of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, and they're all working in us to accomplish His will. And Pastor did a great job explaining pneumatology to us this morning and the work of the Holy Spirit. So that this identity of Jesus being the vine is what Jesus' promise is based on, isn't it? You know, and what is His promise? Whoever abides in me, then he's going to bear fruit. You know, in verse 4, the branch can't bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So the promise is based on the fact that Jesus says, I'm the vine. I'm the one that's providing the nourishment and the nutrition. I'm the one that's giving you the strength. I'm the one that's pushing you forward. I'm the one that's giving you what you need so that you can do the will of the Father. And if you don't abide in me, if you're not resting in me, if you're not connected to me, you're not going to accomplish these things. You're not going to get done what the Father wants you to get done. You're not going to do His will. Because you're only going to know the will of the Father as you abide in me and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and to show you what the will of the Father is. So the promise is that one who remains in Christ is going to what? Bear fruit and bear much fruit. Okay, and again, we could do a whole lesson on, you know, how much fruit are you bearing? Because it's all dependent upon what? How much you're abiding in Christ. How much you're allowing the presence of the Holy Spirit to work through you. You know, how much you're relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit throughout your day, throughout your week. You know, if you just rely a little bit on Him, then you're going to have a little bit of fruit. But if you're relying much on Him, then you're going to bear a whole lot more fruit. Because the two are tied together. You know, I think often what we fail to see is what is promised if we really did abide in Christ. You know, too often we're just satisfied with, well, as long as I kind of make it through life, I'm okay. You know, as long as I have a little bit of fruit to show, or, you know, as long as I get, you know, a little bit of reward in heaven, I'm okay with that. But I think so often we don't even imagine all that God wants to give to us and all that God could do with us if we would allow Him to. You know, and again, I have that concept of, you know, parents and children, and, you know, often parents have, you know, they see the potential in their children and they see what they could become or what they can do. And Nate, your son's wrestling, and you probably see, okay, you know, I can see how he could improve. And he got, what, fourth yesterday?
Yeah.
All right. And you're probably, as you watch the matches, you know, if you just had done this, you could do better. And, you know, let's work on this. And you see the potential there. But then, you know, they're looking at it going, yeah, okay, yeah, it's just something Dad wants me to do. And, yeah, I'll just do it and make him happy. And they don't see really the potential that they have to really succeed and to do well in it. And we're the same in our walk with God and our spiritual lives. You know, we're just content to, okay, I know I'm saved and I'll go to church and, you know, I'll read my Bible a little bit here and there and pray and, you know, just kind of maintain. But God looks down and goes, man, I could do so much more with you if you'd allow me to. You know, if you'd let me dig around you a little bit more and put a little bit of fertilizer in there, and man, there's so much that you could do to promote the cause of Christ and to benefit and bring glory and honor to me. But you just have to be willing to let me do that. The Greek word for fruit is that one there. Something like that. Carpos, yes. And it normally refers to the edible produce of trees or plants, but in the New Testament, carpos is frequently used to refer to righteous actions or the fruit of one's life, something that, you know, we are actually, what can be seen coming forth from our lives and coming out of our lives. And John the Baptist uses this fruit or this carpos to describe the actions of a heart of repentance. We see that in Matthew 3 and Luke 3. I put Matthew 3 up here. Christ is talking to the Pharisees. You know, he says to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And then he says what? "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." All right? So the idea is when you repent, if you truly repent, then what's going to happen? Your behavior is going to change. The fruit of your life, the actions of your life are going to be different than they were before if you've truly repented. So that's the one illustration. Paul uses carpos as an expression of something, a righteous quality in someone's life, or the fruit of the Spirit. And of course, Pastor made reference to that this morning as well. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So again, how do we see these things? Well, they're noticeable in your life. People can look at another believer and realize, you know what, that person, they truly have a love for other people. You know, I can tell by watching them. I can tell by interacting with them. I can tell by talking with them that they are truly concerned about people, that they really love people, or that they have a joy, they have an inner joy regardless of their circumstances, you know, whether they're happy or sad, they still are joyful. You know, even if they're sad, even in a period of grief or mourning, there's a joy in them, knowing that, you know what, God is in control and God is still working. You know, the patience, the kindness, we go through all of them. But all of them are manifestations of the Spirit of God in us. And then they show forth. They come out of us. And then the author of Hebrews uses carpos to picture the results of the disciplined life in Hebrews 12:11. He says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields what? Peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And again, what are we talking about? The fact that when you put hard work in, when you train to wrestle, and you take your time to realize and listen to the coach and listen to your trainers and do that, then you know what? When you win, when at the end, that fruit, what comes forth of the practice, is worthwhile. And you do see it at some point. So this mutual abiding in Jesus means that a disciple must be attached to that source, attached to the vine. But then it also explains the opposite to abiding and bearing fruit. Because he does say that what? If you're not in the vine, then what, he says what? It brings forth nothing. All right? So apart from me, you can do nothing. So we'll wrap up with this. What does Christ mean by nothing? Because obviously these people are still living their lives. They're still doing things. All right, so he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, they're obviously, you know, they're not comatose. So what does he mean? What is the point here? Okay, you're blocking the work of Christ. All right, nothing of eternal value. There's nothing, there's no ability to produce that spiritual fruit. And of course, that's the only thing that's going to last for eternity. You know, the impact that we make in others, or the impact that the Holy Spirit makes in our lives, and that we allow to work through us to impact other people. You know, that's what's eternal. That's what will last. That's what we carry forward with us. And so this inability to produce spiritual fruit, it happens when we're not connected to the vine. Because apart from the vine, there's no life. So why are they not able to produce any fruit? Because they're not connected to the vine. They're not in Christ. They're not attached to the giver of life. You know, verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch. He withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. So each branch that doesn't continue to remain in the vine, or that's not connected to the vine initially, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is removed from the vine. So this branch seems physically attached. And this is where it's difficult for us. All right, because often we look, and from our perspective, you know, we look and we think, man, it looks like Greg's on the vine. You know, it looks like he's connected. But, you know, he's been in Sunday school a long, long time, and on and on. And, you know, and we think he is, but we don't see things as God sees them, do we? We don't know the heart of man like God does. And so the branch might seem physically attached, but it's not organically part of the plant because it's not participating in that life-giving flow of the vine. And again, that is something that only the vine dresser knows. You know, that's why it's the vine dresser's job to prune and to cut off. Because he knows which one he can prune and produce more fruit from. And he knows which one, you know what, they're not producing any fruit. They're not truly attached to the vine. There's no life going into them. And so at this point then, it's going to wither up. It's going to drop off. You know, I have a bush in my backyard. It's really sad because I got like 6 of them across in the back. And the end of one of them's dying. Or part of it's dead. So, you know, it looks real nice and full, and then you got this one end that's just doesn't have any little, you know, has no foliage on it. And you know what, at some point I've kind of been trying to figure out, you know, is there like, did somebody break one in there, a branch or what? And it's just part of the shrub's dying. I don't know why. Yeah, I've been able to figure that out. But you know what, over time, just pieces of it just kind of fall off, you know, and then, you can just snap the branch and it's dead. So it just snaps off. It's gone. And it's not, you know, there's no life, no rubber, no give in it. And so and we understand that at some point, something that's dead, something that doesn't have life, it's going to fall off. It's going to come off. And there's 3 traditional interpretations to this. We'll just go through them real quickly. The first one is that the branches are true believers who've lost their salvation because they were cut off from Christ. All right. Obviously, we are in a Baptist church, and we don't believe, based on Scripture, that you can lose your salvation. You know, that it's not yours to keep or to lose. It's a gift from God. God has given you that and has called you. And so it's not something that you can lose because he is the one that holds your salvation. He holds you and he keeps you. All right. So that is an explanation, but obviously I don't believe it's a scriptural one. All right. Number 2, the burned branches are Christians who will lose rewards, but not salvation on the day of judgment. That's mentioned in Corinthians 3:15. Again, I don't like that explanation because Jesus was speaking of dead branches, all right? And I don't think he would refer to a believer as a dead branch, because if they are connected to the vine, then they have life in them, all right? They might not be a real strong producing branch, but there's still life in them, all right? So when he says that they were dead, they're cut off, they're it doesn't seem, again, scriptural to refer to a true believer as something that's dead. All right, because if you are a believer, you have life in you. All right, so then our third explanation or interpretation would be the burned branches refer to those that profess to be a Christian. They're professing Christ, but just like Judas Iscariot, who professed Christ, who was, you know, he was counted as a disciple. He was with him, followed him, all of that. but he wasn't saved. And therefore, he was judged or will be judged. And so, these are individuals that seem like a branch. They look like a branch, but they're not. Okay? And, you know,
Judas was also one of the 12 that was sent out earlier and told to do miracles.
Right.
And
he went out two by two with the other disciples.
And came back and reported what had happened
right.
in Jesus' name and so forth.
Yeah.
And so you can actually act like a true believer in many respects and still not be.
Right. You know, normally if it, you know, what do they say? If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck and whatever, it's a duck, but not always. Okay? There are those instances and there are those exceptions. So, there are those that, and again, what, you know, and the point even with Judas is at some point it's pretty evident whether they are or are not a follower of Christ. And whether it's genuine or not. I think it was my, I remember who used to say it, but you know, I often heard as a child growing up, someone's true colors will be revealed. Will be seen. You know, what does that mean? It just means the real them's going to come out sooner or later. You know, you can hide, you can cover up, you can pretend to be something, but at some point in time, the real you is, people are going to see the real you. And the real you is going to come out. So given John's concern to make committed disciples to his readers and Jesus' goal to bring people into a continuing relationship with him, I think that view provides the healthy balance. And that would be your best interpretation of that passage there, those two verses. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for being able to get through a couple of verses, getting them covered. Thank you for the wisdom that the Holy Spirit can provide to us and the knowledge that he can give. I pray that you would help us to rely upon him this week and to fully rest in him and trust in him and rely on him to work in us this week. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen.